Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for your sunrise, guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Why don't you come on in.
Dirk and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Swag's going to go configure Dirk's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirk and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Epa! Epa!
Jeez, oh, Pete.
It has been a fun show today. The Clippers are dead. Adam Silver killed them. RIP to the Clippers. It's a fun run while you had it. We had Jamarcus Shepherd on for a full 20-minute interview. He was awesome. Previewing their opener against Houston on Saturday. And so we've had a lot going on in the world of sports over the last 24 or so hours.
Where would it register that if in like 3 years from now the Clippers are in the NBA Finals and we still haven't won a first round series?
Be pretty demoralizing. I might just quit at that point.
You quit? That'd be your break point?
I've had a lot of close breaking points.
Dunda move him to Kalamazoo at that point? Just go take him away.
What's the point anymore, you know?
The arena's renovated, he moves anyway.
We're like, all going to die. Cool. What's the point, you know?
I mean, that's a very good perspective to have.
That would be so demoralizing. There's not been many constants in sport in my life, and the Clippers being irrelevant has been one of the few. One of the few. Even with Lob City, when they had a moment, they choked away the playoff series. And then they had the bubble moment, and then they blew a 3-1 lead in playoff P, shooting balls off the side of the backboard. Like, even in the moments when they were supposed to be good.
They've only been to one conference finals
in their history,
their whole existence.
They are the Seattle Mariners of the NBA. They've never been to an NBA finals.
There's a few teams in the NBA with that.
It's a longer list. Yeah. But yes, like, there's not a lot to point to.
I would say
Spurs in a first round. It's like, congratulations, man.
Sadly, the Kings exist, but at least they have like the early 2000s. The Clippers and the Browns, and probably who would be the baseball of this? I want to say the Marlins, but they have two World Series.
It's the Mariners. It's the Mariners. They went like 20.
If you look historically all time,
Clippers, Browns, Mariners.
They went like 20 years without going to the playoffs.
Now, there's been some teams that haven't sniffed it for a long time.
Let's not act like that.
Well, they haven't sniffed it.
They've never sniffed it.
I think you got to get to the World Series to sniff it.
Yeah.
To sniff a World Series,
you can't
you
be
have
in
to
an
get
LCS
to.
And sniff.
No, that's not a sniff. That's not
Game
a sniff.
Seven?
You're still outside of the restaurant.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
in the restaurant yet. When you get into the restaurant, you can start smelling the food.
Who is the hockey of this? That would complete our core four.
Core four.
Who is the hockey of Clippers, Browns, Mariners?
The Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah, but when did they come back to Winnipeg? What year was that? 2013?
But even before they went to Arizona, in modern NHL.
Have the Ducks won a Stanley Cup?
Yes.
Ducks have won a couple, I think.
A couple?
Yeah.
Paul Kariya, and then
they won one. All-time white guy name.
Yeah.
Ottawa?
Yeah, but they were
dormant.
When
was the last time Ottawa did anything that mattered?
And they're randomly good, but they don't do it.
No.
Yeah.
And they just traded away their best player, by the way. Kachuk's on the move.
That's right. The Kachuk brothers teamed up together.
That's
right.
I'm just rolling through. The Sabres were a bit of this for a long time. They're relevant again, finally. They made the playoffs, but
they've been to a Stanley Cup final.
They have been to a Stanley
Cup final. So what about, but Ottawa?
Well, but they didn't have a team for many, many, many years.
Well, the Browns came back in, what, 99?
This is
true.
They've
done nothing since they came back.
Their history before leaving was not that bad. They had
moments in an AFC team.
The AFC title
Jim
game.
Jim Brown, they had the games they choked away.
Let me look up
Bernie
Ottawa.
Bernie Kosar?
Ottawa Senator seasons. When was the last time they went to a conference
final? Cleveland, Seattle, and the Clippers are all
I would say
group.
The Winnipeg Jets were more.
Quarterfinals.
Because they left to become the Coyotes, and then they got a team back.
Yeah. I have a conference finals in 2003.
Sounds about right.
That's a long time ago, dude.
They made the Stanley Cup in 07. No counties. Yeah. They've not done anything essentially since 07, but they did.
Go show me when the Winnipeg Jets were in a Stanley Cup final.
That's, yeah. Winnipeg might be
the
answer
Were they always
here.
The Jets?
Yes.
Before leaving
before,
and then they came
coming back.
They've always
been the Jets.
They've always been
so
the
they
Jets.
Got moved. They became the Arizona Coyotes or the Phoenix
Coyotes.
That's
an all-time bad team name for City.
You know who's their goalie? Yeah, why are we doing this? Connor Hellebuck's demanding a trade, by the way. He's
how
got like
that?
7 years left on his contract.
That's a hell of a deal.
And everybody hates him up there now. I digress. That's enough now.
Winnipeg. You got to look
it's
up Winnipeg.
Okay, Winnipeg Seasons.
Have they been to a cup?
They went to a conference final in 2018.
That's it?
They might have gone to a cup like back in the aughts, the 19-aughts or
they
something.
They came back into existence, relocated from Atlanta in 2011, 2012.
Right.
And since then, they have been to one conference final.
Yeah, that's it.
And they've been a consistent playoff team. They didn't go last year, but there's a lot of first-round exits. Yeah. Really good regular seasons, and then
a Clipper, a Brown, a Mariner, and a Jet walk into a bar.
Who's the most depressed?
Well, Clipper fans aren't real.
No, they don't exist, so they can't count.
Probably Cleveland. They lost their team, who then went on to be one
multi-Super Bowl champion.
Multi-Super Bowl winner with multiple Hall of Famers.
John Harbaugh.
And when they came back, they've been to the playoffs twice?
Two or three times?
Three. Flacco, Baker, and then our guy.
Yeah.
The Moose from Scappoose. Derek Anderson.
Derek Anderson.
He did, the legend.
They've been three times since they came back in 1999. It's almost 2027.
They've won one playoff game.
Yeah.
When it was Baker. Then they
got
rid of the guy.
And they care the most, don't they?
They do care the most.
Because Mariner fans have said, if you're bad, we don't care. We're not going.
No.
And baseball's much easier to check out. Like football.
Oh, without a doubt. There's a game,
Football, there's only 8 or 9 home games a year.
Hockey, the Canadians, like when Winnipeg left to Atlanta, they could have easily just jumped on Toronto.
No, Winnipeg is a supportive local NHL fan base. They fill that place up.
Sure.
Cleveland,
they've
though,
also lost their team.
So the dog pound, they keep showing up, even when it's, 20 and snowing sideways there.
Dude, right when they get
next
a playoff
Lake,
win
whatever
with
it's called
a real
now.
Quarterback, they pivot to the sexual harasser. I mean, that is an all-time.
It has to be Browns fans. Yeah.
It has to be Browns. You're right.
And while the Mariners haven't been to a World Series, at least like Game 7 of the ALCS will sustain you for a little bit of time. Now, the way that that's game ended
after
and the way
season,
the season
I
has
don't
gone,
know, man.
At
they're
least he
testing
had a
those limits right now.
At least he had a moment of going to a place mentally of like, oh, my God, we might actually do it. Cleveland's never had that moment mentally where they're like, oh, my God, we might actually do it.
Mariners are on a winning streak right now.
They have won back-to-back games. They're hot again.
They should have
Here they come.
Them.
Here they come. This is going on in college football, by the way. It's a weird third hour here, so we got our Big Pack picks making its return.
Can I be honest with you?
Did you forget about the big pee-pee?
And then I had to remind myself what that segment is.
Oh.
Which is odd because we've done that.
It is tough. Look, it's been a long time. The off season is long for everybody.
Did we
okay?
do it last year?
We absolutely
we did.
I have it on my show sheet. I still have our records from last year. I would remind you how you did.
I'm going to say I dominated the dojo.
You have had a dominant run the last 2 years in the big PP picks.
I'm so good that I forget how good I am.
This is like a lesson of golf where you shouldn't care. Like, people don't care. You end up playing better because you don't care about your score. You don't care about your big pack picks, clearly. And it benefits you greatly. It's not something you take seriously.
Yeah.
So we will do those coming up. And I will remind everybody of the records from last year and how the segment works. That's right around the corner. And then we are going to start the Magic Hat earlier today because we have a guest for the Dirty Pole at 9:27. So the Magic Hat will go 8:45 and then at 9 o'clock. And then we'll get to the Dirty Pole at 9:27. There is your synopsis. A bit of college football news to get to open hour number 3. And I know this one, we're tired of it. Does this change it all the way we talk about it? If you want to move on quickly, we can move on quickly. You could be the captain now. The latest in the topic of playoff expansion in college football. Ducking out of the way as you throw a tomato at me. Greg Sankey. This is hilarious pivot for him because he's clearly trying to do something that's like taking away from court cases. And oh, by the way, the attorney general in the state of Georgia.
Oh, I saw that.
And I believe the attorney general in the state of South Carolina have both come out and said, kick LSU out of the conference.
Yeah,
we're not going to play them.
Because that's how all that works.
That's exactly how that's going to play out. I believe the Louisiana court case is scheduled to get underway within an hour from now. So we'll see how that all plays out. So I did love the subterfuge of Greg Sankey saying, how about I throw this red meat out there?
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe we are on board for a 2014 playoff, huh? What a shocker there. That's to find out this morning. He's just saying it has to come with two stipulations, and those stipulations, according to the SEC, Dellinger had this report, everybody has to play 10 power conference games in order to be eligible for the postseason, and conference championship games are eliminated. He said he'll do 24 if you do that.
It's going to happen. I mean,
Why would anybody say no to that?
I don't know.
Because it's too big of a playoff
now,
and people hate it.
The question here becomes, He is outlining saying you need to play 10 power conference games to get into the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Who is incapable of playing 10 power conference games?
Notre Dame.
Non-power conference teams.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for the G? That's where everybody's
well, I guess
freaking
Notre Dame
out this morning.
Play 10, but like
I think
not
they traditionally
be...
do. Like I'll go look up their schedule. Like every, I'd be surprised
do
if they
play the maximum ACC.
No,
I
but
they had a morph thing with them.
We just their schedule sucks because a lot of their historic games suck. Like Stanford kind of blows right now. Purdue's a rivalry of theirs. Purdue sucks right now, but they like Navy's not power. Let me pull up their schedule. But people are now fear mongering over what it, does this mean? He's advocating for getting rid of the G6 auto bid. Because they don't have the ability to play 10 power conference games, which I don't think would actually happen. That comes in all sorts of antitrust things. That's a different conversation.
What's really tough for me is like saying I want all of the games that I care about to happen and not the games I don't care about. I can also acknowledge the other side of that is like how many programs would probably have to shut down. And that's There's a sadness to that. You don't have to care about filling the blank team.
Yeah, the payday that comes with those games and what it means for their
exactly.
athletic budgets.
But
and
like
stuff,
you
yeah.
do feel bad for the kids who get done high school and they've always had, you know, there's the kids who go to be the 5-4 stars, there's the kids who are the 3 stars or walk their way on. And then there's the Division II, Division IIIs, there's the lower there's the FCS, like there's a lot of colleges that could have a little bit of fallout and impact from that, that, you know, I would feel bad for because some of those kids could continue to play college football.
Right.
And even if I don't consume it, it's still an avenue to keep their dreams going.
Well, I think what the challenge here would be, and I'll use Oregon's game as an example of this. If you have to play 10 power conference games, are you willing to play teams that are in the upper echelon of the G6, right? Like, do you lose that ability? For the financial ramifications of it, do you know how much Oregon's paying Boise for their 2 games to Autzen Stadium?
On average, like per game, I would say they're probably paying them $900,000.
A little bit more than that. For
a
the
million?
Total of the 2 games, it's $2.6 million.
Oh, okay.
So you're looking at about $1.3 million
each,
per
yeah.
game. There was going to originally be a road game at Boise involved in there that Oregon didn't want to play anymore because they didn't feel the need to do it. And you don't, you have, it's tricky with the 9-game conference schedule because it leaves you 3 non-conference games. And so if you schedule a road game in non-conference, that takes away your ability, if it's not against another power team, to go play a home and home type of series because you're not going to play 6 home games and 6 road games because you can't make your financial nut at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difficulty of it, of like, that's $2.6 million. What does that mean for Boise State? What's the Pac-12 TV deal? It's so low that they won't even tell us. You're getting $2.6 million.
Sub $10 million a year.
Right? $2.6 million means a lot to programs like that, and that can sustain you for a little bit and help fund other things around your athletic department. And so
yeah.
that's some of the fear that goes into this of just what does it mean for everybody else as it trickles down further. From a fan standpoint, though, of the sport, like, yeah, there are too many throwaway games on the schedule that I'd like to get rid of. And then also the idea of conference championship games is just kind of an obsolete thing now in the sport. And so those two things on the surface level I wouldn't have any issue with, but a lot of things still to be figured out. That was funny that it came out from the SEC today of like, you know, maybe we will expand the playoff. Don't look over here. Look over here. Let's debate this. Playoff expansions back in the news.
And I believe the Big Ten has already, Petiti's talked about how like some of this would involve getting rid of the conference championship games of the conferences. This just feels like Sankey basically hopping on board but trying to make it his own
thing, right? Yeah. I won the argument.
Well, yeah, this is what we need. Do it. Okay, I got it. Now we're in. It's like, dude, that's kind of already what they were talking about.
Yeah, the only difference is the Big Ten is not mandated to play 10 conference games, or 10 power games. The SEC currently is.
It's just an odd, you know, back to our conversation with Jamarcus Shepherd. It's an odd moment for the sport because there feels like there's so much in the air that's not being legislated that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And yet we continue day by day to just move on to the next and then move on to expansion. And all these other things are still laying there as problems and issues, and they're not
haven't been resolved.
Yeah, they're not being resolved.
Yeah. And to the point of all this chaos around the sport, what does it mean? And I gave the numbers earlier that the Florida State New Mexico State game on the CW peaked at nearly 4 million viewers on Saturday. So it's like people are still watching. There's still a lot of attention on the sport. We might not love some of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. We do this a lot in the NFL when we get like the Mike Sando quarterback tiers and you get, you know, random or anonymous coaches and executives in the NFL ranking certain teams or certain players. He actually came out with one I'm going to save from my notes for tomorrow because it was ranking where executives in the NFL think teams will finish in their conference and in the playoff chase. We have that in college football, according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. He sat down and spoke to 18 different coaches across all levels of FBS football, from head coaches to position coaches to analysts to general managers, so trying to get a sample size here. And in the face of the argument of, is nobody giving my team a chance, the 18 coaches anonymously polled for how the season will end, six of them picked Oregon to win the national championship. Bastards.
Taylor Lewan picked your team, I think, this morning to win
Taylor
the national championship.
Shut up, Taylor.
It's going to be really tough if they don't make the dirty poll and all these people are picking your team to finally do it.
Nobody's giving us a chance. To the idea of what is the biggest sleeper team in the country, three votes for Michigan, two for Oklahoma. Can you be in the top 10 and be a sleeper?
Absolutely.
You can? Okay.
Yeah, because you can be in a top 10, 12, but do people think you're legitimately going to win it? You know, there's question marks about Oklahoma. I'll go back to the Michigan one.
Yeah.
You know, I weirdly saw Underwood's stats, and I know they're not going to jump out at you. They were kind of slightly better than I remembered. And that's saying something, because I thought he had such a bad season. His completion percentage, not great.
We're in the 50s, right?
No, it was 60.
Okay.
2,400 passing yards. I forget his total touchdowns, but I saw the stats yesterday, and I was like...
11-9.
Touchdown interceptions?
Now, that's not accounting rushing touchdowns.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah, it was
few.
Total touchdowns.
He had 17 total touchdowns.
17
11
total
passing,
touchdowns.
6
Dude,
rushing.
He's a true freshman playing for a coach who's having an off-the-field scandal through the whole year that we don't know about.
You're not wrong.
He's a five-star stud. Isn't he, what, 6'4"? He's 6'5"? Oh, he's a massive human.
The size of Cam Newton.
I want to go back to Michigan might actually be underrated in terms of the conversation we're generating about them. Like, I understand the age thing. If Dan Lanning left Oregon for another college program, we would probably lean into a benefit of a doubt. Would we not?
Yeah.
We'd say, damn, he left Oregon for that. Look out. Why are we not doing that more for Kyle Whittingham? After all of the years of respect we've paid to him, maybe because it was an odd timed move, maybe because it wasn't the right fit, maybe because the report is he wasn't the one they initially offered the job to. I don't know what the reasons are, but the guy did nothing but be consistently successful at Utah for since Urban left. And now he's at a place like Michigan with resources, tons of young talent, and a five-star quarterback that, you know, was not good, but may be able to tap into what the projections were for him as a player. I think Michigan might be the most underrated team in the country in terms of the conversations we're having about who is a legit contender, who's going to emerge out of the Big Ten. It's a lot of USC. It's a lot of Penn State. And I feel like Michigan kind of sits there and maybe once in a while they're mentioned, but not with real consideration.
That's a good point. They got Oklahoma in week two in that game last year, Bryce Underwood. Now, again, to be fair, start two of his career, right? So I'm not throwing him out.
On the road.
On the road. He was 9 of 24 for 140 yards. That is a 37% completion
percentage.
He was
terrible in that game.
Did not run the ball effectively either. He had three games last year where he completed fewer than 10 passes. That game, the Michigan State game, he completed 8. And then the Ohio State game at the end of the year, he was 8 of 18 for 63 yards and an interception. And so... they are definitely intriguing. I think we'll find out what we need to know about Michigan in terms of them being a contender or not, or a surprise team in week two. If they beat Oklahoma, they get them at home, and you knock Oklahoma off, and that would probably knock Oklahoma, to be honest, out of the playoff conversation because you look at the rest of their schedule, good luck. I'm right there with everybody of saying maybe that game is tougher than people acknowledge. Who is the biggest fraud and the most overhyped team according to coaches in college football? LSU got the most votes with 7. USC second with 4, Texas third with 2, they're tied with Ohio State with 2, following up with Texas Tech and Texas A&M and Alabama. Dante Moore got the most votes to win the Heisman Trophy. Nobody's giving us a chance. And then there was a really funny moment in here, or a funny quote. I'm going to see if I can find it. They were just simply asked, who is the best player in college football? Just overall, like the number one guy. And if anybody's asked that, what is the number one answer people are probably given? Jeremiah Smith.
Yep.
Guy's a freak. He's been a freak since the day he stepped on campus.
Sure.
Get this anonymous quote from a Big Ten running backs coach. You ready for this? Not Jeremiah Smith. Play cover 2 over him. Take him out of the game. I think he's closer to DK Metcalf than JSN.
That's supposed to be a diss.
DK Metcalf's had a pretty good NFL career.
Also was pretty good college.
Also, why would you throw that out? That quote's
because you're
back
anonymous.
To him.
You're anonymous.
My team's got to play his team.
You're anonymous.
That must be a coach who doesn't have to play him this year, and now you're throwing that nonsense out there. Come on, man.
Also, we've seen him play 2 seasons now.
It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. Yeah.
His first year,
what are we doing here, dude?
He had Kyle Honda McCord.
Yes, he did.
And last year, he had a true freshman who had statistically a good year, but, like, in the big, big games, wasn't always, like, the greatest quarterback.
No, he really struggled in their three biggest games of the year.
And every play, you're still like, my God, this could be it here. And guess what you're going to do this year every time your team plays Ohio State?
I'm terrified of playing him.
Oh, my God. This could be it here. The game breaker.
Please don't throw it to that guy.
Why would you say this?
It's so dumb, dude. There are some anonymous thoughts from coaches around the world of college football. Let's get to the Big Pack picks. If you don't remember how it goes, we will explain. I'll give you our records from last year, the debut, the return of the Big Pack picks next on The Fam.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is 8:27. Hey, now 8:28. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start. The Magic Hat will start in a couple of moments. That is right around the corner, and we will put our stuff in the hat, see what we got, see what we're going to pull out here in just a matter of moments. And then at the final hour of the show, we will get number two on the dirty poll. Who could it be? Your guess is as good as mine. Could be anybody today. But before we do any of that, you ready? Ready for the return of the Big Pack Picks? The only reason I do this segment is just so I can hear the old FSN music. I love it. I want to sleep to this. I want to bathe in this music.
What did Versus used to rock?
I don't remember the Versus song as much. This one I remember vividly. For those who don't know about this segment, hello, everybody. Welcome in. The reason we do it, it just gives us a way to talk about the Northwest schools, their games, and how we think they're going to go. Because we don't sprig the line on college games anymore. I won that one out.
Well, you can, but we don't. Yeah.
You know, we got purity rules around here, okay? Where dirt was right, we'd do NFL and NFL only, baby. But the winner of last year's Big Pack Picks, and this is picking every Oregon State, Oregon, Washington State, and Washington game against the spread. So just the four schools in Oregon and Washington. A little bit easier this week because two of them are playing each other. So we only got three games to pick, man. Last year, your record, Sprager, 27-15.
That would have been worth the gas to drive to A-Lin-A.
I'm just saying. Maybe we should go to A-Lin-A.
Keep making fun of me every Friday. It's been great.
That's delightful. I was 22-20, so just a hair of my chin above 500. And Jason Swigard not losing money, 21-21.
Oh. And there was a furious comeback at the
end
of the season.
You got off to a horrible start.
It was bad.
Came back late.
How do you remember that? I couldn't tell you anything about last year.
I don't remember I just remember I got off to a horrific start.
So we always go in chronological order of when the games will be played, and that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to Saturday morning. You're waking up. For me, I'll be live on the air down in Eugene, Oregon. Other people just turning on their TV, see what we got, what's on the old docket today. What are we going to watch? Well, 9 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get the Houston Cougars hosting Oregon State.
Houston Cougars?
I think I just said Houston. This is a 9 a.m. local start time, okay. 11 a.m. And the line currently at A-Lin-A, 20.5. Are we taking Houston minus 20.5?
Come on, baby.
Or Oregon State plus 20.5?
I won't blame either of you for what you're about to do. I'll just tell you, I cannot in good faith start the season going against my team. It's a lot of points, backdoor cover. Do I feel great about this matchup? Absolutely not. No, not at all. I'm worried we're going to see another quarterback in this game. But I'll take Oregon State plus the 20.5. It's a lot of points.
Okay. Jason T. Swigard.
Game ones are always just, there's so little to go off of. Who knows? I mean, and nobody gets into practice anymore. I'm of the belief of you, Coach Shepherd, is even if things go poorly to start, he's coaching this not only for the game itself, but for all season long. So a backdoor cover seems very possible.
Okay.
So I will lay the 20 and, or I will take the 20.5, pardon me, take the 20.5, hope it gets to 21 by kickoff, but I will take the points.
Yeah, it might seem dumb. This is a 1-point differential for me. If it was 21.5, I'd probably do it.
That's not dumb at all. Three touchdowns.
42-21, like somewhere. Like, yeah, I could totally see. It's 42-14. You get a late tutty. You cover the number if it's 21.5. 20.5 makes me lean the other direction. There's just, I'm rooting for Oregon State to cover. I hope Shepherd wins there. I want fans to be engaged with the Oregon State season and them to give us something to talk about on a week in, a week out basis. So I'm rooting like hell for Oregon State. It's a known commodity versus an unknown commodity. I'm going to take the known commodity. I don't think it's a bloodbath from start to finish, but I will take Houston to slightly cover 20.5.
I think the other part of that, too, is the hardest thing I have to see in my head is how many points does Oregon State score? Houston was fifth last year in their conference in total defense, and I know there's other metrics you can use.
Right.
Do they get past 20? I just, there's so many unknowns at Oregon State. They got the good news of Van Wells, so their line should be better.
Houston's got their starting quarterback though back. Connor Wegman's back for another year.
But he was super impressed with him, but like it's another year of playing, so he may be a stud.
Right.
It just depends how many points you see Oregon State scoring. If you think they're getting into the 20s, I think you take Oregon State. If you think it's going to be a struggle to get to 13 because of Houston's defense and playing at home, you might be better served from a gambling standpoint to take Houston minus the 20.5. But I'm going to take Oregon State.
So there's game one. Game two up on the docket will be 12:30. You can see it on CBS or hear it right here on The Fan, the home of the Ducks. They take on Boise State. Chilly afternoon down at Autzen Stadium. You're looking at mid-60s and cloudy, although I don't believe
it's... Is that chilly?
I mean, I think for a home opening game, it's about 30 degrees cooler than normal. For
it's
a first game of the year.
Great, I think, for everybody.
I cannot wait, dude. I got a chub just talking about it. Usually that first game of the year is miserable because it's 97 degrees and you're like, get me
out of here. You're not wrong in that regard.
To the USC crowd point from last week. So mid to upper 60s, dude. That's my heaven right there. 12:30 kick, and the line at A&A right now is 24.5. Boise State plus 24.5 or Oregon minus 24.5.
That is a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. Game was competitive. They damn near beat them last time.
But everybody's telling me Oregon's going to win the title. They're the best team in college football. I have to go Oregon minus the 24.5.
Nobody's picking them. Stop picking my team, damn it.
How's a group of six team even going to hang on the same field as Oregon?
This is a health issue, honestly, if we're talking seriously. They might get seriously injured.
That is a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
But that Oregon offense shouldn't be coming out the gate rusty. They should be humming and ready to go. I know Boise damn near beat them the last time they played. I think Boise's a good football team. This is not a disrespect. I just think this is a game where there's no rust. It's been a player-led camp, according to Lanning. You got experience in every level of your field. Go out there and show the talent gap, which I think is a pretty sizable one given what Oregon's expectations are. I will take Oregon minus the 24.5.
Such a duck honk. Swag, who do you like?
I will lay the points. I think this Ducks defense with all those guys that forego the NFL.
I hate you both.
Are
you going to do this to me all year? Are you going to do this to me every game?
Only segment.
Like, I think the defense's mentality is coming out to pitch a shutout. Like, they don't.
A shutout?
They're not going to pitch a shutout.
That's their mentality. Like, they are. This group knows, you know, we gave up whatever opportunities or put them aside for a year ago. I think it's all business with that defense.
What do we say Monday if they do indeed pitch a shutout?
Feeling pretty
now,
good.
I don't know if that – I mean, if they start pulling guys and going to second and third stringers, okay, we'll see.
That's the concern here.
But
– oh, backdoor, yeah. The backdoor is open.
The backdoor
sure.
is wide open. Man.
I just don't think Boise State, at least, you know, ones versus ones, I don't think they're going to score that much.
The biggest concern I have for the game – by the way, we'll have more on these games tomorrow, too. Like, we'll break them down. From a fundamental standpoint, I can't wait, dude. I'm excited. No matter how the game goes, Oregon and Boise is pretty exciting for me. I will say the biggest concern I have about them not covering the number is the new faces on the offensive line, and one of the most experienced groups on Boise State's team is their defensive line. So it might just like if it takes you a quarter or two, they're throwing a stunt that you don't quite see, or maybe they bottle up a gap in the run game that doesn't quite get going. Like, I think eventually Oregon's offense will get there. That's the only one that I'm worried about, I guess, early in the game. From a skill position standpoint, that's where the mismatches happen. Like, Boise's secondary against Oregon's wide receivers, fully healthy, that's where, to me, the biggest mismatch is. I will take Oregon to cover, but I am terrified of that backdoor. 24.5 is your number.
You're taking the Ducks?
I know. Shocking development. I don't even have him in my top 12 either. It's crazy. Last but not least is Sunday. Standalone game on Sunday. I love this. I love that they get kind of a moment in the sunshine on their own. It's a 1 o'clock start on NBC. Now, you can't gamble this one in A&A because it includes the two Washington schools. So the consensus line I saw at Vegas Insider was 23.5. And it is the Apple Cup in Seattle, Washington minus 23.5, or the Cougs plus 23.5.
I cannot in good faith pick my rival to cover a point spread. So I must go Washington obliterating year one Kirby Moore and Washington State at home. By the way, there's an interesting note on this. You want to go to this game. Right now, Costco's dropped their Washington ticket prices.
Have you seen the ban controversy?
Are they not allowing Wazoo's band?
Can talk about this. Yeah, this has been the hot debate the last couple of days.
They're not letting the Coug band in?
They are letting the Coug band in, but the Coug band is not coming because they give you an allotment of tickets, and one of the sections is down low, and then one of the sections is at the top of the stadium. And the Coug band feels slighted that they were not given tickets down low of the stadium because now to get down to perform at halftime, they got to come all the way down. So the Cougars are complaining this is unfair. Washington is saying we do this for every band that comes
Oregon
to
State
Seattle.
Puts the visiting band on the top section of the left side of the...
It's been the heated debate the last 48 hours in Seattle.
The
yes, the band. Is the band there? This is disrespectful. Who do you think you are?
The band popping off about tickets. Be on the team.
Hey, you look a bass drum up.
Yeah, let's see you carry a tuba up those stairs, all right?
Get out of here.
Swag.
Catch a football.
I don't know what to expect from Washington State. Washington can't fart around early on, so
I don't know anything about Washington
State.
No,
I don't.
No, you know
I don't know anything.
Who's the quarterback?
I don't know.
UC Davis transfer. I can tell you that much.
You probably watched him last year on Thursday
night.
I probably did, yeah, to be honest
I just know the Huskies, for their own sake, cannot come out and look iffy in any way,
DeMond
shape, or
better
form.
Better ball out in this game.
He needs
I'll tell
to
you
ball
that
out. And yeah,
talk about pressure cooker.
And I don't think they will let up if they get a lead. I think this will be a leave-no-doubt sort of thing, so I'll lay the 23.5.
Yeah, I mean, the game was, to be fair to Washington State, they had a lot of new faces, a new quarterback, a new coach, all that last year, and they hung with them for 2.5 quarters. Like, that was a somewhat competitive game, and then it, you know, got out of hand late, and Washington ended up pulling away. So I want to give Washington State at least the benefit of the doubt there. The difference is this year is the game's not obviously in Pullman. It's in Seattle. It's at Husky.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Husky Stadium. It's not a neutral site game either. It's not at Lumen Field. It's at Husky Stadium. And if there's two things I know about DeMond Williams, one of them is he's tiny. The second one is he eats bad or below average teams for breakfast. And he will have an insane stat line in this game because that's what he does against inferior competition. 400 yards passing, 200 yards rushing, something crazy. And then he won't be able to see over the line against Ohio State or Indiana. I will take Washington to cover and cover going away. Cougs may be feisty in the first quarter.
Not even a contest.
But I think Washington will win the game by 28 or more. There is the Big Pack picks. By the way, a reminder, last year Sprager won at 27-15. I was 22-20. Swag 21-21. Those were our records last year. We will do that every single Thursday. Yeah, move it around, depending on when we have a guest. Sometime in the 8 o'clock
hour.
Yeah,
if something happens, we got to be flexible.
We'll adjust. Yeah. We'll move on the fly.
Omaha.
But there we are. We got the Dirty Poll going to number 2 in the final hour of the radio program. That's at 9:27. But next, it is Magic Hat time, starting a little bit earlier, and we'll dive into it next on The Fan. All right, let's get to the Magic Hat. It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus pocus, where are you?
Now you see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Hey, welcome back in. 8:45 on your Thursday morning. We've got the Dirty Poll coming up, 9:27. Who's number 2? Find out right around the corner, but a little bit earlier than normal.
Who does number 2
work for? Who could it be?
What are we doing here?
A little bit earlier, the Magic Hat today, because we got the Dirty Poll at 9:27, so we move it on up. Start. You got to move the drill. We move
the drill.
Here we go. Moving on up. Time for the Magic Hat. What do we got today?
Who is that?
Dumb. D-U-M. Dumb.
Yeah, thank you for this.
Dumb.
Look, we play it as we see it. Play it right down the middle.
Call them balls and strikes.
Balls and strikes. Fair and balanced. We have to play this clip. This is one of the all-time clips of... If I told any person alive right now over the age of 30 that this was going to be said by a president, what would your reaction be? Take a listen.
And then I said, well, if you replace the E with a U instead of Democrat, you have Democrat. And most people don't know that dumb has a B at the end. You know, they think it's D-U-M, and that's okay. So it's a one-letter change, and you go... No more E, you just put a D, and you got a Democrat.
I love what
did we not know how to spell?
No, we did. We knew how to spell dumb.
That's okay. As he highlights, it's not okay.
It's not okay.
It's a four-letter word.
I love when somebody says, you know, people don't know that there's that means that you didn't know, and somebody had
did
to tell you.
Did he think it was spelled the way of the little dumb lollipops from Dentist's office and banks?
Oh, the dum-dums?
The dum-dums. Does he think that's how it was spelled?
Of all the words to not know how to spell.
To tell me how to spell the word dumb.
There's some words that are complicated. Restaurant, I still have a hard time with to this day.
Sure. Right?
We all have our words.
Yeah, the U's not where the U is supposed to go in restaurant.
There's words that all of us will have issues with. Dumb.
Drum was famously a key word on
it
the
was.
Fan that somebody spelled wrong.
Yes, it was, yeah.
But they knew how to spell it.
They just
and they just
wrong.
Said it wrong.
Misspoke.
There's a difference between misspeaking and not knowing how to spell a word.
Do we know how to spell misspoke? I don't know if we know how to spell anything if we can't spell
two S's,
dumb.
I believe.
I do declare. It's what?
How do I get off this ride?
The only thing he could have done to top the George Bush thing is
put food on your families.
Now watch me hit this golf shot. That's all he could have done.
I mean, Bush had some all-timers, dude. The fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on. Fool me, cake, food again. It's an all-timer. I have no idea where I'm going right
dumb.
Now.
Wow.
I just, whenever somebody says, you know, most people don't know this, but
I know
that means that you were the one that did not know it.
Well,
exactly.
Aware.
People had to. Yeah, right. Many people would ask,
what are we doing here?
Exactly.
You know, learn how to spell words.
Yeah, that helps right there. What else we got in the hat today?
Not so fast, AI.
This has just become a political show, hasn't
it? Look at you, two for two.
Balls and strikes. I just want to ask how we feel. Did we get... Yeah, here we go. So this was announced yesterday in New York City.
Okay.
The mayor of the New York City.
That mayor, huh?
The controversial mayor himself.
The commie himself.
He announced that the city's going to enroll this policy coming up.
Today, I am proud to announce New York City's first ever comprehensive AI policy for our public schools. City Hall's answer to those questions. It is the most comprehensive of its kind anywhere in the country, and it begins with a simple principle. Children need their teachers and human connection in order to learn and in order to grow. So beginning this school year, we will implement a one-year moratorium on generative AI for students in 2K through 8th grade.
A one-year ban in New York City school systems from those grades up to 8K. 1 year. How do we feel about this?
I mean, my kids are not school age yet, obviously. One on the way. The other one's just doing the preschool. Not a lot of AI in preschool and technology and stuff. If I had a kid that age, I would be a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
I would be an absolute, like, well, let's take a breather here.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of evaluate how things are going to go. This is moving rapidly. And until we get maybe some more answers or a clearer picture, I have no problem with that. Also, Do elementary and middle school age kids need AI's help?
Well, there's some
push.
I don't
know how they're implementing it utilizing
hard?
It.
Well, Linda McMahon, I believe, is the head of the Department of Education, correct?
The head of Department of Education.
She did an interview, and she basically was like, it's going the direction of, which is interesting, virtual learning is kind of what she was hinting at.
And we're going to go
to
a lot of online
using AI
school.
Instead of having teacher. Like, she was kind of hinting at it, and people were like, excuse me? So I think it's partially a response to how irresponsible AI usage has become.
Right.
And then also, like, to his point, not relying on looking at a screen all day and actually having human interaction.
That is certainly helpful. Yeah, I don't know. The way we learn, everybody learns differently, right? Like, I was a guy when I learned, I had to write, I don't know about you guys, I always had to write stuff down in order to remember it. If I hear something, I don't always stick, but if I write it down after the fact, that just whatever that is, that memory and that, you know, symbolism, it helps set it in my brain. My dad's been a professor for a long time, and I've always appreciated this, that he makes every single test that he gives out is always a long written, long form answer format, because you just get a better understanding of what kids actually know when you have to write out the answer, where it might not be 100% true, but I can see in that answer
you're like, understanding
you got
some of the material,
the gist of the topic, right? And if you're just doing a multiple choice, was it A, B, C, or D, you're just memorizing little facts and you're not actually practicing the thought of remembering or retaining the information to a certain extent. So I do find this topic fascinating. But yeah, if I had a kid who was in elementary school or middle school, my thought would be you don't need AI. You're in elementary school, man.
Yeah, there's country pushes. I know Australia is a nation, like one of a few, that have banned 16 and under on social media.
I think it's a great thing.
And I personally like that.
I think it's a great thing.
But
there's
you get a lot
no
of people,
need to be on Instagram at the age of 14.
I largely agree. with you on that. It's just something interesting to think about now that AI is here and where we're going with all of it and how
this is on my mind a lot, man, because if it's crazy now, imagine what it's – I mean, Teddy Ballgame starting kindergarten in 3 years, right? Like, think about when he's in middle school and high school.
Well, and as a state, we rank near the bottom.
Yeah, we're not doing great in school. Somebody's saying that PPS did this for 120 days, so we did something similar.
How about that?
Portland Public
Schools. Okay, I missed that note.
So there you go.
Good to hear.
I guess we did the same thing locally. What else we got?
You can get started here. How creepy is this guy?
Yeah, this one has been in there for a while, but holding on to it.
Just the guy that wants to live forever and now he has a stomach virus?
No, I have not seen that story, but that's pretty funny. How would you respond if somebody in the office place, somebody that we work with, proposed the idea of throwing sex parties with people you work with? Like, somebody just sent out a company-wide email. It was like, hey, everybody, this weekend, thinking about getting the whole staff together and having ourselves.
So they're announcing it.
Nice little sex party to get to know each other a little bit better.
They're not quietly going up to employees
not quietly,
and talking about it.
Not
and
sexual harassment in that way. This is a very public sexual harassment.
Check yes or no.
Let's have some orgies around here. That would make the work environment get a little bit better. You want to pull Brian Mann's hair?
Nope,
not into that.
Nope. I want nothing to do with any of what you just said.
Let's add another layer on top of it. Now imagine that person's a politician. This comes to you from Germany. A randy German council member, known as the country's craziest counselor, has proposed the idea of throwing sex parties at City Hall as a part of an effort to turn the Berg into a swingers paradise. He is 35 years old, and if you imagine what you think somebody who would request this would look like, he looks exactly like that, maybe struggling in his own individual sex life, although we shouldn't judge nor kink shame. And he basically says he wants to see the city transformed into a group sex place. He's been known to frequent nudist resorts. He likes to pose for bizarre photo shoots, essentially naked. And now he wants to have this governing body get together and get busy. His quote on this was, group sex with the city council members would be the ultimate in closeness with the citizens, noting that there are no laws on the books prohibiting swinger parties at City Hall.
He said the closest
to this guy getting
citizens?
Any votes?
He added at the moment. He's already in.
He's already won.
Quote, at the
Where
moment.
Is this?
Germany.
The focus is on determining which of the citizens who contacted me are seriously interested, because he said he's hearing from citizens who are open-minded to this and that they want to jump into the swinger party as well.
I have many a question. A
lot of follow-ups here.
Is he getting bipartisan support here?
It does not sound like it. Can I just show you a picture? It's just bad radio. This is what the guy looks like. Those are the photos he poses for.
He looks like Gabe from The Office.
He looks exactly like Gabe from The Office.
The guy who comes in one of the final seasons and is... He looks just like that guy.
He's, you know... swingers culture and German politics. Would that bring you closer to your compatriots?
No.
Well, physically it would closer.
You and Swag high five in the middle of the act. Hey, let's go, buddy.
It's an Eiffel Tower.
See what you're doing over there.
I'm
taking notes. I'm watching. I'm seeing what you got working with.
We call it a local landmark. You call that what? The Fremont?
The Broadway.
Yeah, the Broadway. It's the only way. Has anybody responded to his request? Actually, that's not a bad idea, Dale.
Dale, if his name is Dale, dude, you're out immediately. If a Dale asks you to have an orgy, I just run the other direction. His name is Julian. Julian Ferrat. He's 35 years old. Julian. There you go.
Is there anybody...
This is not going to happen. No, to answer your question, no, it will not. This will not.
No, but like, what would you do if Swag approached you? I walk out to the bathroom. It's commercial break.
He just over the talk pack.
Hey, Dirt, what are you doing this weekend? You want
to get together? Come to conference room 72B. It's swinger time.
What?
Yikes.
What?
Swinger time.
Is he trying to do this at work?
Yeah, he wants to do it in City Hall. He wants to do it in the building.
In the building?
In the building to bring them together.
Be careful with those gavels.
It's called the team... Team bonding experience.
We have a all glass conference room.
We do.
It's just like weird. Like people, clients will come in. And
if
whatnot.
We're having an orgy here, that is absolutely the place to do it.
Because
then you have people who can watch.
It's that or the fart box.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Well,
you can see into the fart box too.
Smells going to be stuck in there.
Hot and steamy. Just picturing the scene in the Titanic. Somebody's hand coming down the window. Is that Dave Kinsella? Dave, what are you doing in there, man?
What is he declaring?
Hey, that's one half of the Magic Hat. We still have more Magic Hat to come. We're only partially
didn't
through
it. Didn't need to name names. Now you made Dave the Titanic.
We love Dave, you know?
Why is he the one whose hand is going down the
glass? The first thing that popped in my
head.
He's
the king of the world.
He is. More Magic Hat kicks off the final hour next on The Fam.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.